The idea is not massive. We all have the same idea. But what is massive is you have to have a big, massive pair of nuts to be able to do what we're doing, because it's no joke. Salon owners, you'll know that when you're dealing with employees, it comes with a lot of emotional energy.
A new barber, they have to be a nice person before then a great barber, because of course you can teach someone how to cut hair, but you can't teach someone how to be a great person.
You know, building a brand identity, everyone can do it, but you've got to have values that are aligned with that brand identity as well. And that's what people join the journey with.
Hi, welcome to the Noble Barber Podcast. I'm Anthony Laban, and we'll be talking to various people in the industry who've made it and their journey and how they got here. Talking honest, cutting through the crap, and making sure your story and their story is heard to help your business and hopefully mine. If you haven't already, please hit the subscribe button, and I hope you enjoy this episode.
Welcome to a live recording of the Noble Barber Podcast. We're here at Barber Connect on the Modern Barber Business Stage with all you lovely people who are now part of our podcast. And I am here with
Josh LaMonaca
and Luca Verillo.
Excellent. And they're talking all things Menspire. These guys have promised they're open to anything. So Charlotte behind us is here to ask, to hand you a mic and ask you questions. This is your space. We want to talk about Menspire, group working. I mean, you've got 30 plus stores now, right? Worldwide.
Yep, that's correct.
150 plus employees.
About 100 employees. 100, yeah.
Excellent. Yep. I mean, there's very, very few companies who've got 30 stores in the UK, let alone going global.
Yeah.
Is the UK, expanding in the UK, more difficult than globally? Does that bring different problems?
Definitely different problems. Different excitements as well. Obviously, being close to home, it's easier to control. But at the same time, we're very, very fortunate to have such passionate people within our international team that carry the brand dominantly by themselves for their teams. Obviously, today, guys, we don't have Samuel Palmer with us. Unfortunately, couldn't make it. But we do have my business partner here, Mr. Luca Perillo, who is a co-owner of Menspire and the director of Napoli. Not only Napoli, but two stores in Napoli with a bright future ahead. So I just want him to introduce himself and say how great he is.
Oh, thank you so much. Good evening to everyone. Yeah, it's a really big pleasure to be here. For me, it means a lot because it's the first time in the UK. We're working around the world to do education, business. But today is really special for me, like yesterday on the stage, because I was in London. I lived in London for 2 years, from 2018 to 2020, when I met this man here. And that's why he's really, really special to be here. So I'm the director of Menspire Napoli and an international educator. Like I say, we're working around the world to do a show, seminar, education. And Josh have 35 plus shops now.
So Luca was actually a student of ours back in 2017. So he came to study with us at the Menspire Academy. Eventually began to work with us, and along the course of the journey decided that in his hometown there was a need for a Menspire, a new level of male grooming. And very, very gratefully, he took on the brand and built a team and now has two salons in Napoli. So a real, real credit not only to our team, but a very, very talented individual to this industry as well.
Thank you. Congratulations, mate.
My name is Curtis. It's more of a thank you, to be honest, to Josh. So Josh may remember me from going to Menspire for a couple of courses, especially the Business Blueprint one. Since then, I've also had mentorship calls with Sam Palmer. And in July, we opened our second store based off the routes that we've sort of planned with Josh and Sam.
That's beautiful, man. Congratulations.
It's been a lot of hard work, but to be honest, everything that we picked up from you guys just made it so much easier. Obviously, we're all young lads and we've never had the experience before, so it's more of just a thank you than a question.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you so much, Curtis.
Andrew, thank you very much.
Great stuff. We've got one over here. Thank you, Charlotte.
Hiya. I've just got a question about, obviously, the integrity that it takes to go and open up 35 shops is, you know, it takes a lot of work and it takes a massive, massive idea.
Yeah.
I wanted to just know, like, what was it that sparked that thought in your head to think that I can do this more than just from my one individual studio or my one individual shop? And actually, like what, it's almost like a cheat code of knowing that other people in the same industry would be after the same things. And it's like recognizing that you don't have to be competition. You can make like unities with other people. And I just wanted to know what driven you to that sort of idea.
Yeah, great. Great question. Thank you. What's your name, brother?
Tom.
Tom. Hey, I love your haircut, bruv. Really cool, man. That's really cool. I love that. Just let's start there. When you said massive, massive idea, the idea is not massive. We all have the same idea. But what is massive, massive is you have to have a big, massive pair of nuts to be able to do what we're doing, because it's no joke. You know, what it takes to, you know, how many salon owners have we got here? Put your hands up. All right. So salon owners, you'll know that when you're dealing with employees, it comes with a lot of emotional energy. You know, it really takes a lot out of you when you have to deal with your staff. They have this off, they need this holiday, they have this problem going on. It takes a lot, you know, and it's not for everyone. You know, everyone wants to have the money, but not everyone wants to put in the work and the effort that it takes. You know, certainly it does come down to connections, you know, building connections. You know, that's really, really important. Obviously, having a brand standard and a brand integrity, that's also very, very important. You know, I was speaking to someone yesterday and like many other people told me that he's struggling for staff. You have to question, why are you struggling for staff? What are you offering these people that come to work with you? Are you just another barbershop with a chair that they can do their haircuts? Or are you a brand that can offer them, you know, a much more wider network and opportunity? You know, there are a lot of people out there who just want money, and there are a lot of people who want, you know, to have a nice lifestyle, you know, and those people will cater towards the different opportunities that are there with them. If someone has a rental chair, of course, that's where they're going to potentially earn the most money, because it's all very self. If someone has a commission-based salon, you know, there's a lot more team environment, or a salary-based salon, there's a lot more team environment, and that's the culture that you build within your brand. So it kind of really depends as a salon owner what you want to have. Do you want to have, you know, the baggage of dealing with people's emotions, the responsibility of building people, growing people, building a team, building two teams, three teams? Or are you quite settled with renting a chair, having the same fixed amount of income per month, and then that be it, having a nice, easygoing life and being a business owner? You know, the decision really is yours. It is really where you want to take it. And, you know, we all have the opportunity to be as ambitious as we want. You can take it wherever. Trust me, we have the capability, okay, if you have, you know, the responsibility that you want to take on board your shoulders. That's really what it takes.
Was there a point, though, where, I mean, presumably first store opened, you know, you may have thought you wanted 30 stores, but it wasn't written down on a sheet of paper. It went from one to two. When did you find that you went, actually, we're really doing something special here?
To be honest with you, I actually have on my notes here a writing from like 2013 saying that in 5 years' time, we want to be in St. Albans, London, and Essex. You know, in 5 years' time, we wanted to have three salons, you know, scattered around. And lo and behold, within 5 years, I think we had about eight salons. So there was never a time that we said, like, right, let's go for it. You know, we kind of knew what we wanted to create. We wanted to create, you know, a new image, a new pathway for barbering. Because if you can imagine, 11 years ago, the barbering culture was still very much a walk-in culture. And wait your turn. You know, it wasn't what we have now, which everyone now has appointments, you know, refreshments, a really beautiful salon, nice waiting area. We have that now. It wasn't like that 11 years ago.
I mean, the big change also is in that I hear the word brand, my brand, and even guys with one chair behind, they've got their brand. The Men's Spire brand is really strong, is really solid. And as you said, this kind of integrity that you've instilled in the look. How protective and how much work and care goes into your logo? Well, not your logo, but your brand.
So, you know, brand aesthetic is really, really important. You know, if you think about the big brands, you look at Nike, you look at Adidas, Cole Buxton, all of these types of brands and what they're building, what they've built. You know, everything stands out about them. The aesthetic is really cool. And this is why they are very, very popular, because they're very minimal, they're very clean, and they're very current as well. You know, building a brand identity, everyone can do it. But you've got to have values that are aligned with that brand identity as well. And that's what people join the journey with. If you are just a barbershop, then you simply are just offering a service. If you are a brand, you offer so much more than that. It becomes a lifestyle, you know, and that's why we've been able to peel off with our brand and do multiple things. We actually owned a cafe as well. You know,
I've seen that. Fantastic.
And this was, you know, we sold it now, but, you know, it was based off building a community of people that came to the barbershop that would then travel to the cafe because they knew it was ours and it was very close by. And there were so many different things. You know, I've built a clothing line from barbering, from building a brand identity that people support and love. And, you know, this is one of the greatest things about, you know, building something that people can contribute towards. It's not just a shop.
No, I think that's the great thing. We do see that, you know, with Menspire, you're moving down all the different kind of roads that are open to us. Charlotte, have we got some questions from you guys? It's not all about me.
I just wanted to talk a little bit about online booking systems and what your thoughts are on online booking systems and whether you think there'll be a change in the future where pretty much every shop operates that way.
I mean, presumably you're all an online company.
All online, yeah, yeah. Anyone here not online? Put your hands up. Okay. My brother. What's your name?
Ewan.
Ewan. Hands up if you're not online. Just two of you. Let that be the answer of what you need to do next, yeah? Online is the future. It's a lot more simple for you to run your books. Makes your life easier. Go do it. All right, my brother?
So you talk a lot about being a barbershop and then being a brand. So there's a big difference in between them. So what was the turning point for you to turn your barbershop into a brand?
So changing from barbershop to brand, did that always stay in the pot, or was it a revelation?
There was no turning point. There was no turning point. It was from the beginning. Before we opened up the salon, we wanted to build a brand. Now, a big part of that I devote to Samuel Palmer, my business partner. You know, he was certainly a man that has a very high standard in all things of life. You know, and he was kind of the one that opened my eyes up to, you know, diverting our attention from being a barbershop to a brand. You know, and this is one of the things of having a great partnership. You know, be careful of who you go into business with. That's really, really important. You know, and I'm very, very honored to be a partner with Sam, who, you know, has a very, very high standard. And he brings those standards to barbering and has helped, you know, nurture and build a brand for us that, you know, people love and support.
Yeah.
So I've just took on a new barber, a new stylist. Could you talk us through what you do in the salon when you get someone new come into the shop? They're unheard of. What's the first step?
Okay,
obviously,
great.
Everyone knows of the brand.
Fantastic. But, yeah, okay, cool. So I'm going to pass this one on to Luca because he's obviously still operating as the salon, you know, manager, director. And as I've veered more into education, he's going to definitely be more familiar with, you know, new stylists coming to the shop. You know, what do you do to build them? How do they build? And tell us what happens.
Yes, thank you, Josh. So this is a really important question because your new stylists are your future, the future of your brand, your shops. And then, be honest with you, I have 7 people work with me, and all of them was like, you know, a new barber. I teach every one of them because it's really important for me. That's so the first things for me personally is that they have to be a nice person before then a great barber, because of course you can teach someone how to cut hair, but you can't teach someone how to be a great person. And that's why this is the fundamental things for me. And of course, the second thing that I want to see is a little bit of talent, but the most important as well is the passion. For example, all my employee, like was my students, you know, I meet all of them to my course or was someone my follower, something like that. And everyone has come to my shop to say, for example, Luca, I want to come to work with you even for no money. And from this, for example, you can understand who you have in front of you. It's really important. And then, of course, you can modify their attitude because, you know, when you take someone a little bit younger, you are sure that you can modify something. But when you keep someone a little bit the age already has experience, for example, maybe it's a little bit difficult. And maybe if you are on a big brand already, maybe they can use you, you know, for bring something like, you know, visibility, something like that. That's why you have to be a little bit, you know, to pay attention, give a lot of opportunity to everyone. But I prefer, in my opinion, as a brand, you know, to bring a little guy, little students, new in the industry, for, you know, for showing him all my experience, all my way, for, you know, to let's continue to grow in my shop as my attitude and everything, you know.
And how do you find once they've joined and you've gone through this, is your staff retention strong? Or if they're the wrong person, do they kind of fall away? Are you quite good at getting rid of the people that really are there just to kind of stick you on their CV? And do you know what I mean? It's that finding point. So do you keep staff? Are you, how do you work that?
Yeah, good question. I think, you know, in terms of staff retention, you know, people that are not meant to be for your shop or your brand, naturally they will filter out, you know, they will fall out of line and it will be quite clear and obvious that they're not meant to be for you. And it's not nothing to be disheartened about. You know, at the end of the day, God will put people in your place that are meant to be for you. And we shouldn't get attached to anyone that doesn't fit in with your team or eventually wants to leave. You know, just know that everyone's on their own journey. God has a, you know, has a plan for absolutely everyone. And we should be grateful for anyone and everyone that comes into our path. And that's really it.
Sure. I mean, it's very, I don't know how you feel, but it's really nice. I've got a couple of stores. The fact that you go through the same experiences that I do, that it's about the kind of passion. It's about someone who kind of comes in with the right kind of emotional kind of intelligence as well as the skill. Yeah, it's a really nice thing, and especially seeing that's globally, not just UK-based. Charlotte, who have we got next?
Hello, yeah, sorry, me again. This one's for you, Josh. So you mentioned your business partner, Sam. So for me personally, I've got a friend who, me and him have got ideas over the next year or so to go and do some business ventures ourselves. I met him through cutting his hair. I've been cutting his hair for a good few years now, and he knows a lot of things like to do with business and regarding business. I feel like myself, I'm a bit of a brand in the local community. Like, people know who I am. I get along with everyone. But him and I have come up with these ideas, and to be quite honest, a lot of the ideas in terms of business has come from him. I was just like wanting to ask you, like, with your relationship with Sam, Is it like that similar sort of dynamic where one of you will offer that sort of brand and the idea and be the face of that, and then you've got the other person behind that who actually is a huge, huge support to the person in the front seat, but actually they're probably the one driving the thing a bit more?
So how did you and Sam come together? How did that first partnership, and yes, how do you divide your energies?
So myself and Sam, we have a really fantastic relationship, and it sounds like you've you know, met someone that works fantastic for you, so congratulations. You know, this is a great dynamic. Myself and Sam, we are both very different. You know, I am very much more so in the creative space and want to perform education, create new looks, you know, really kind of build the brand identity in terms of imagery, etc. Whereas my business partner Sam, you know, he really wants to be the one that sits on the business side, you know, looks after the salons, mentors the stylists and the directors. So we do really have a beautiful harmony between us that, I guess, you know, has kind of allowed us to kind of flourish really and grow in both of our avenues and our journeys. You know, he is very supportive of what I do, and, you know, I am very, very supportive of what he does. And it one can't work without the other. And I think that's why still 11 years in and, you know, hopefully 11 years beyond, inshallah, we will continue to grow. And I think you've got the perfect dynamic as well. If you're the front man, if you're the man that the community knows, fantastic. If he wants to be somewhere in the background, you know, your support, your backbone, fantastic. You have a beautiful dynamic, brother, and I wish you all the very best.
Excellent. Thank you for that. I think that's it. One hand washes the other. But just to be kind of blatant about it and a bit blunt, you need to get the legals down on this. You know, it doesn't all get done on a handshake just because you're really good mates and you get on really well. Getting it written down and covered by a lawyer and going through, there needs to be a nice foundation. Would you agree with
that? Yeah, absolutely. Listen, and you know, we've been there before. We've been shafted, you know, with former partners and directors. But again, you know, no one here, has anyone here been to university to study business? Just one. Are you a barber? Okay. Any barbers here that have been to university to study business? Just one. One at the back. One out of a very, very lot of people, yeah? So think about it. We don't get taught how to do business and run business as a barbershop. We kind of learn along the way. And this is why, you know, we, you know, at Menspire have also not only turned from the scissor education, the hair education, but also business education. You know, look, we've got Curtis here at the front here, you know, who's now going on to his second salon after some of the advice and mentorship that he's received from us. And, you know, and this is something that we're tremendously passionate about because we know that it's missing. You know, it's missing. If you don't have legals in place, you have the potential risk of being shafted yourself. So don't do what we've done, okay, but learn from what we've done and get yourself set up accordingly.
Excellent. Great answer. Great question. Thank you. But, yeah, get that sorted. Charlotte.
Hiya, this question for both of you. I'm just wondering, as someone who works on the shop floor 5 days a week, how important is it to be posting content and posting your haircuts? I'm quite busy myself, but sometimes I feel like I should be posting more. But how important do you think it is to be posting your haircuts?
Oh, man, wow. I will answer that one for sure. If I didn't post my haircuts, I guarantee you I would not be sitting on this red sofa right now. That's a fact. I started way before social media, way before Instagrammy, TikToky. I started, you know, building my images way before that. I have a little red book. I used to take photos with my Fuji camera and I used to print them on the computer and pop them in a portfolio. And I used to carry it around with me. And also it was something, you know, tangible and visible to show my clients to say, hey, I can do this haircut, or this haircut. Now it's so much easier. We all have iPhones and Samsungs and whatnot. Bang, you can take a photo immediately after you've done your haircut. You can upload it to social media and that can be your portfolio. It's not a case of, yeah, but I don't intend to be an educator, session stylist or an international artist, this, that and the other. No, it doesn't mean that. Okay, very simply what it means is that you have a portfolio of a few variations of hairstyles that you can communicate to your clients and say, hey, are you thinking of something like this or do you mean something more like this? That's all it is. You know, so don't be shy about it. Use it to your advantage. Because imagine you're trying to explain to your client, yeah, I want to give you a slick back, bit of a mullet, but not too much of a mullet, but a little bit more tighter, but a low taper. Oh, actually, look, this is something I've done similar. I think it's going to fit you very well. What do you think about this? That's what it's there for, man.
And do you feel the same? Do you do much of your own content? How do you work your...
So I think that's the social media today at this time is the you know, is the key, because like say Josh, if we don't share what we do, you don't know who we are. That's why you're in front of us, in front of Josh, you know, because you follow him on Instagram, of course. Even if he starts, you know, in the years before, but I think that's more looking forward, you know, in the future. And more the technology will come. Even when we're talking about the system appointments, if you want to see 10 years ago, everyone waiting like, you know, on the, what's in English? To the agenda, no? On the booking with a pen, no? On the calendar. And now we do every... Guys, sorry for my English, I'm Italian.
You're doing beautifully, yeah, man. It's amazing. Yeah. Fantastic.
And we try to do my best
so
in my English.
Much. No.
And then, so, it's the future. I recommend you to post, you know, the reels constantly on social media, because it's the best way to let see the people your skill, your experience, and everything.
I mean, speaking to so many people, it is finding that time. If that's the profile you're looking for, you've got to find the time. And if taking a couple of spaces out, not doing a couple of haircuts, you can make that time valuable.
I think the other problem is that most people have, and forgive me if I'm wrong, but you can also agree with me, is that we're very, very critical of our own work. Put your hands up. If you take a photo, you look at it later and go, you know what, I'm not going to post that. Put your hands up if you've been in that position before. Look at how many hands are up right now. Yeah? Or you also think, well, my haircuts are bang average and they're boring. You know, I want to do something more exciting and then post it. Put your hands up if that's you as well. Okay, cool. I've got something for you, yeah? Many people I find, and this is not just here. Listen, I'm very, very blessed, and I thank God that I've been able to travel around the world and get to understand this industry on a much more wider scale. And it's the same thing everywhere around the world. Everyone has the same problem. I don't get these cool haircuts that come into my salon. Trust me, if you are looking to do long hair and all you're doing day by day is a skin fade, taper, skin fade, taper, taper, skin fade, you have to go out and find them. You have to go out on the street and find the model that you're looking for. Bring them into your salon, offer them a free complimentary service and get some content from it. And don't be shy about it. Trust me, I have been doing this for the past 5 years. Literally, I used to be so full in the salon, I used to have people texting me saying, Josh, please, can you fit me in? How many people here have that? You've got people messaging you, you're fully booked, and they're still asking. I used to have people knocking on my door the whole time. Now, as I've gone into education, I have to find people to cut hair for free. I have to chase people down the street to ask them if I can cut their hair. But guess what? I get to select. I get to choose what I want to work on. And in fact, these are my business cards. Check this out. In fact, this is not a magic trick, okay? But check this out. These are my cards. Can you see they're all the same, yeah?
Yep.
I want you to pick one. Tell me, what does it say? Flip it over.
Blonde hair specialist.
Pick another one. Check this out.
Men's hair specialist.
All right, go one more. Give me one more. These are my business cards.
Curly hair specialist.
Guys, they're all the same, yeah? But on the back, everything is different. I roll up to people and tell them that I'm a specialist of whatever hair they have. So you can imagine, I see you in the street, I'm a blonde hair specialist. If I see you in the street, I'm a mullet specialist. These are the things that I create in my mind to bring my imagination into reality. And it's probably one of the reasons why yesterday I was very fortunate to win the Photographic Image of the Year award, because I'm constantly testing myself, constantly trying to push myself, not only for myself, but to help raise, you know, individuals in the industry that also want to follow the same path. Thank you very much.
No, great answer. We got another question. You there? Hi there. Hello.
Hey, mate. I just wondered where you see and or hope to see Menspire in the next 5 to 10 years as a brand.
What's your plan going forward for Menspire?
5 or 10, two different plans.
Can we hear both?
5 years, of course, without doubt. We want to continue to strive, build better standards for the industry, both educational and obviously salon standards. We have plans to venture into a lot more into Asia. Next month, we're opening in Singapore, and hopefully in the future, we're going to open up a little bit more in America. After 10 years, God knows best. I'm going to just leave it at that one.
What advice do you have for a barber entering the education space and starting their own organization to be educating younger barbers?
Yeah, great question.
Thank you.
First and foremost, check your intention. Check your intention as to why you're going into education. Are you doing it because you want to show what you can do? Or are you doing it because you want to share what we can do? This is one of the greatest things that has changed my life dramatically. When I started doing education, honestly, I wanted to show off. I wanted to show people what I was made of. I wanted to show people that I had a very unique talent. As I got slowly more into education and I started to understand and learn, it was not so much about me. but it was more so about the people that stood before me. That's when I changed my intention from, you know, wanting to show what I can do to actually, I want to share with people what we can do and how we can build a better industry for everyone.
So interestingly, one of the biggest questions that comes into me, and certainly after we spoke at the Barber Bash and put that episode out, was how do I become an educator?
Luca, come diventare un educatore?
It's a great question. So it's not so much things, in my opinion, but, you know, some fundamental things to do for becoming an educator. For the first things, you have to identify your idea. For example, one advice I can give to you for someone that's want to become an educator to identify your philosophy, you know? For example, I meet during my career so many students that, for example, today study with me. Tomorrow we're going to study to another company. I don't want to say name or something like that, just to let you understand, with different philosophy. You can do just something like eradicate confusion. That's why you have, you know, to identify your philosophy and follow that one. Second things is study, but study the fundamental, you know what I mean? Because if you know the theory, the, you know, become the practice is much easier. And then second, because, you know, I have to think in Italian and speak in English. That's not
mate, yeah. Doing better than every one of us here. So well done. It's beautiful and a fantastic answer.
Dai, Luca, bravo,
you.
Bravo.
We have we're coming up to the end, so let's make sure we get these questions in thick and fast, please, before we go on. Hi there.
Yeah, cool. So away from obviously Menspired team itself, obviously you keep each other inspired throughout the industry itself, but through your own inspirations of the creations of your own self, is there anyone outside or what keeps you inspired within your own creations for itself?
Oh, that's a great question. Where does the inspiration come?
From outside of Menspire as a whole.
Okay, but within the industry?
Within the industry, yeah.
Okay, cool. I mean, listen, I've got, you know, so many friends in the industry that I look up to, that I support, that support us back. You know, so many friends and, you know, just being well connected to certain individuals. You know, we have so many guys here. You know, look at the influential people here. Alan B, Kevin Lutschman, Sam Elliott. You know, there are so many guys here that, you know, we should seek inspiration from. You know, I'm glad to call them my friends, but at the same time, they're normal people. You can reach out to them. You can message them. You know, you can touch base with them. They're all around here. You know, go tap them on the shoulder, say, look, I really love your work. How did you get onto doing what you're doing? You know, and that's it. Just stay connected to people because trust me, you can learn from absolutely anyone. You can learn from your apprentices. In fact, on the way here, one of our assistants, okay, has been learning how to do perms. And I kid you not, I was super interested to understand the protocol of how to do a perm. You know, even that inspires me. And I've even asked him, I said, hey, look, can you do a perm for us in the academy? Can you show us how to do it? I've never learned how to do it. So it doesn't matter if they're below you, above you, everyone can teach you something and you can teach anyone something.
It's great that inspiration comes from wherever. And Leo, you know, we came into the barbering industry less than 2 years ago knowing a handful of like my mates, and everyone we've approached has been amazing. So it's a very open community. Hi there, sorry.
So you said you have like 30 plus stores and like you focus a lot on branding. So how do you make sure that each store like has its own individuality as well, which like brings people into that shop in particular?
Yeah, great. I mean, listen, what we do have is a brand standard. So that comes with values. So that comes with being, let's say, trustworthy, polite, committed, etc. Those are the values. Everyone has their own individuality. We don't take that away from no one. You know, we're not a brand that makes you wear the same clothes or you know, uniform, for example. So already that expresses the fact that everyone can be individual. You know, as a brand, I personally believe that people should have their own individuality. You know, in terms of cutting hair, everyone should have a foundation. But when it comes to personalization, that's where people can differ. So it's very, very important for the integrity of the brand to have standards, but also for people within the brand to express their individuality. That's really important. That really is what makes a happy and quite a communal environment as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, exactly that. Well, I think when you've got the people and you you've got the right people and you let them create.
Let people be people. But great question. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Yeah, and good foundations. Well, I think we've got our last question here, Charlotte.
I wanted to know when, as a company, were you ready to sort of take it to the next level in terms of, and even for like new barbers like that are into their business, because I've been cutting hair for like 5 years now. When do I look at my business and think it's ready to go to another level?
Cool. When you say next level, are you talking in terms of the standard or
like
a new shop?
Yeah, like second progression shop. Or like, yeah, second shop or just like ready to sort of upscale your business into
the next level.
Yeah.
Tell me, how many chairs do you have in your shop?
I just have the one, so I'm a solo barber. I've got my own.
Okay, is there space for two?
There can be, yeah.
Okay, cool. So that's where you need to start. That's the obvious starting point, is, you know, taking in another chair, taking on another barber. That is your next step. If you want to grow as a businessman, you know, that is where you need to go. You might be great at doing hair and you might have a fully booked column, but guess what? Your income is fixed.
Yeah.
You can only do as many hours as you can do. You can only put your price up to whatever it can be.
Yeah.
Your next step is either put your price up or you hire someone where you can build your business from. Would you agree?
Yeah.
So this is it. You have those two options. All right, your price either goes up or you add a new dynamic to your business with a new chair, a new employee.
All right.
Yeah?
Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you.
I think that's the end of the questions. Thank you. I think the really amazing thing from every question is about, as we finish, people wanting to build their business. There's a great ambition in the industry. And the queries that come into us are, how you do more. And it's lovely that Menspire is evidently built on that kind of integrity of good foundations. If the last bit from me, if you were going to go back and say one bit of advice to your younger fledgling barber before your career took off, what would be that one piece of advice to carry?
Don't get into barbering. No. Go into plumbing. No. I would say keep going. You know, keep going. Don't be afraid of making mistakes. You are going to make mistakes along the way. And guess what happens when you make a mistake? You learn from it. So it's only going to add to your knowledge and your development. Guys, I just want to say thank you very much for, you know, sitting here the whole time. I know a few of you guys were waiting as well. I really appreciate it. You know, we as a brand, Menspire, we've been pushing the boundaries for 11 years, you know, and we continue to do it for the next 11 years as well. We do have a blueprint course. It's a business blueprint one-day course that we are hosting now. You know, we're not just doing hair education. We're extremely passionate about building people's, you know, legacies and their brands. You know, so if you are interested, you know, go online, check us out on our website, menspire.com, and come and spend the day with us. You know, come and speak to Curtis up at the front here, who's experienced it. He's experienced the results of coming and spending a day with us. You know, come and do the investment that's right for your brand. You know, there's no other place you can go. You can't go on a business course because someone has a business, has a business course. Take it direct from people that have been there, done it, done the mistakes, learn from it, and can pass it on. Come and see us.
Guys, thank you very much. Josh, thank you. Luca, thank you very much. Thanks for your time, everybody. We are the Noble Barber Podcast. Please subscribe and like, and thank you very much. Enjoy. Bye.
Welcome to the Noble Barber Podcast. We're always looking for interesting people and interesting stories. If you know someone or you are someone with a great story that you want to share, get in touch and come join me on the sofa. Thanks very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the episode and we'll see you next time.